CCO radio time is 2:50.
Reed Collins with Steve Rowan in the CBS News Space Headquarters in New York, where we are following the history-making flight of Apollo 11. Both spacecraft now behind the moon. If all has gone as planned, Eagle, the LEM, with Armstrong and Aldrin inside, has performed its deorbit insertion burn, a slight burn of the descent propulsion system, which should take it sweeping to within 50,000 feet of the lunar surface once they reappear on that right limb of the moon and begin again to contact Mission Control in Houston, Texas.
From Mission Control, we've just received some updated figures on what that burn should have done based on their computer. It should reduce the orbit of the lunar module to 9.775 statute miles, but if they made no further burn, the lunar module would sweep back out to 65 3/4 miles above the surface again without any trouble, and presumably if there were to be no further burn, after one more revolution, they'd be able to rejoin the command module, Columbia, just as did the astronauts of Apollo 10.
And we'll be following this flight of Apollo 11, but let's pause now for this.
In Los Angeles and LaGrange, Philadelphia and Farmington, Detroit and Durango, in hundreds of America's largest cities and smallest towns, you'll find GAC Finance. It's the company that makes better things happen for more than 1 million people each year. GAC Finance offices are located in cities and towns across the country. Chances are good there's one near you. At GAC, you get fast service when you need it. But that's not all. You also get valuable budget planning advice on how to make your money go further. Now, isn't that a better way to borrow? The maximum amount that GAC Finance can lend varies from state to state. In Florida, for example, GAC makes loans to $600. In California, to $5,000. Check the yellow pages under loans for the amount in your state and the address of a GAC office near you. Join the millions who have already discovered why people who want better things to happen now ask GAC.
And the flight of Apollo 11 continues now. Both spacecraft separated one from the other, flying behind the moon. We'll reacquire them within this next half hour, and we'll find out if they have begun the first stage of what will finally, hopefully, be a descent onto the lunar surface. Now let's go to CBS News Space Headquarters near Mission Control in Houston, Texas, and CBS News correspondent Neil Strausser. Are you standing by there?
Standing by, Reed. In Mission Control right now, we note that some of the flight controllers have left their consoles, some standing around in groups, most, though, still looking at those keyboards, waiting to see what sort of information will come in when signal is finally reacquired. But as Mission Control admitted a few moments ago, there's not much we can do right now. Everything has been read up, put into the computers up there, and then everything that's happening behind the moon is out of control as far as this ground control is concerned. And in the meantime, here with us in studio, the CBS News science consultant, Dr. Leonard Riefel, and the Grumman consulting pilot astronaut, Glenn Kingsley. And Dr. Riefel and Mr. Kingsley, this might be a good time to bring up the question of just what hazards may be involved from now on. Assuming this last burn has gone as scheduled, this is as far as Apollo 10 ever came. We're about to venture into the unknown.
Well, I would say that's right. Of course, the lunar landing step itself is the big unknown. We don't know what that surface is going to be like exactly, although we've got to remember we have landed unmanned surveyors on that surface quite successfully, and now we've got pilots along to help it, so one shouldn't anticipate too much difficulty. There are some unknowns, though.
Mr. Kingsley, do you anticipate any great difficulty in flying this thing down?
I don't know. I think with a pair of eyes along to see what the surface looks like and make minor changes at the end, there should be no problem at all in this particular landing site area.
Neil, let me pop a question in for Dr. Leonard Riefel, who just mentioned the safe landing, the adequate landing of surveyor unmanned spacecraft. Len, I recall that one of those surveyors landed on an angle in a crater. Now, would that kind of a landing make it impossible for the lunar module pilots to get their ascent stage off?
Well, it all depends on the slope, of course. The specifications on that landing site have been set so that no one expects the slope that they'll encounter to be more than 10 degrees. If the whole lunar module landing gear were to stroke in such a way that the lunar module was tilted by more than 15 degrees, they'd have operational troubles, and then you'd get into the worry about tipping over, but not until 15 degrees, and that's very unlikely, assuming they have anything like a near-nominal approach to the landing site.
Actually, I believe, and you can check me, Dr. Rifle and Mr. Kingsley, that they can land at a greater angle than that if they take off almost immediately.
Well, the vehicle will remain stable about 45 degrees, and they can make a successful launch, but it would be very touchy.
It's not the sort of thing you want to have happen.
No, not at all.
But there is a limitation on the angle to make it safe for the astronauts to get out and actually walk on the surface. That's about 15 degrees,
right.
Is that right?
Right.
I think now, you gentlemen all are assuming you have an absolutely vertical descent now when you talk about the striking angle, right?
No, you can stand up to a 10-degree slope if your horizontal velocity is like 13 feet per second or thereabouts. So it's really quite an adaptable vehicle. It's got four legs for that reason, specifically to make it adaptable. It's a little like jumping off a fence with four legs. You get a lot of chance to right yourself in the landing.
Well, Neil,
no word from Mission Control while this conversation's been going on, and of course we don't expect to hear from the spacecraft for another 25 minutes from either of them. And while we're counting down those minutes to that very important period in the lives of these astronauts, let's pause for this minute.
It's a long way to the moon, and up there, alertness and caution govern our astronauts' every move. That's pretty much the philosophy of professional truck drivers. They roll up over 190 billion miles a year, about the distance of 400,000 round trips to the moon. Yet they're the safest drivers on the road. These drivers and their trucks make up the most efficient transportation system on Earth. They handle 3/4 of all the tonnage that's shipped in the United States. Everything from food and clothes and gasoline to the exotic hardware needed for the space effort. The fact is, where most products are concerned, either they go by truck or they don't go. B.F. Goodrich, as a member of the ATA Foundation, the American trucking industry, is proud of its role in producing many of the safe, dependable tires trucks ride on.
And the flight of Apollo 11 continues, but we have no contact with it because the spacecraft, both of them, are now behind the moon, and we presume, Steve, that they have performed the deorbit insertion burn, which, when they once reappear, will find them dropping down within 50,000 feet of the surface.
That was close enough. As you recall, Gene Cernan excitedly saying on Apollo 10, we're right down among them, baby, and they're going to go right down among them even farther than that. They're going to go that final 50,000 feet to the surface of the moon, beginning at 4:05 Eastern Daylight Time, making that powered descent with their throttleable descent engine, getting down there and covering that final 300 miles across the surface of the moon till finally they touch down.
And hard to believe that that moment begins scarcely 40 minutes from now, as the flight of Apollo 11 now is 24 minutes past the hour.
Month after month, people have brought a tremendous amount of savings to Twin City Federal. They have made Twin City Federal the largest savings institution in our wonderful part of the country. But you ought to see the way people are saving now. You ought to see the way people are responding to Twin City Federal's increase to 5% per year. They sure do like that 5% on genuine passbook saving. Listen to these figures. In the first 15 days of July, the savings inflow at Twin City Federal was $5.5 million more than last year. $5.5 million more. More and more people are bringing their savings dollars to Twin City Federal. And the Twin City Federal folks say, thank you. Thanks for your confidence. Thanks for your goodwill. Thanks for your enthusiastic choice of Twin City Federal's genuine passbook way of saving. Twin City Federal, where the famous twin clocks flash time and temperature.
CCO Radio time now is 25 minutes past 2.
At 19 minutes past 3, Twin Cities time, man should be landing on the moon. You'll hear it here, where you hear history as it happens, on WCCO Radio.
Federal grows, it helps the community grow. So whether you save there or not, you might be interested in some of these growth figures. For the 12 months ending June 30th, Twin City Federal's new mortgage loans totaled $96 million. That's a 12-month record. The net savings increase was $27 million. Altogether, Twin City Federal grew $42 million larger. It is now $725 million strong, the largest savings institution in our part of the country. If you're concerned about saving money, remember, people make Twin City Federal grow because that's where people like to go. They like the safety. They like the service. They like the increased rate on genuine passbook saving to 5% per year. And they like the genuine passbook. Put in money anytime. Take it out anytime. If that sounds good to you, especially that 5% on genuine passbook saving, stop in where the famous twin clocks flash time and temperature. You're always welcome.
80 degrees in the Twin Cities at 2:45.
And this is Reed Collins with Stephen Rowan, CBS News Spacecraft Center in New York. And we are just about as confused as anybody because we have such a tremendous amount of anticipation. We should be acquiring very, very soon the first word from Columbia, in which Neil Armstrong flies alone. And a moment later, we'll be hearing, of course, from the Eagle, in which Aldrin and Armstrong have been flying alone. You know, astronaut Neil Armstrong discussed the hardest part of the trip in a pre-flight press conference.
The hardest part of the job is the dedication to trying to find any remaining flaws in the whole strategy, or your procedures. And once finding those flaws, finding the right person that can do something about it and erase those flaws. That's the biggest job we have. When I say we, it's a collective, not just the crew, but the flight controllers and all the people that contribute to the planning of the flight in operational sense.
Well, that's Neil Armstrong, and he does what he always does do. He expands his role to include all of the efforts of all of the people involved in this. And if you want to look at it, Steve, you could put 20,000 contractors and several hundred thousand people into this, and they all have a stake in it. And all of those who either plan trajectories or just solder a wire in some small sub-subcontracting plant, right now, a lot of that rests with them. Let's rejoin Mission Control in Houston, Texas now. We should be acquiring first the
they
signal
just have
from Columbia.
Reed, in the minute...
Columbia, Houston, we're standing by, over.
They had just gotten the telemetry as you were introducing them. Now they're waiting for voice communication with Michael Collins. Apparently not yet in communication with the LEM, which is good news. It would indicate that the lunar module has fired its descent engine successfully for the first of those two burns that take it down to the surface. No word yet from Michael Collins.
Columbia, Houston, over.
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear, how may?
Much, bye-bye, Mike. How did it go, over?
Listen, baby, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle.
It worked.
Okay, he's coming along.
We copy out.
Descent engine has fired for the first time.
And Columbia, Houston, we expect to lose your high gain sometime during the power descent, over.
Everything went swimmingly, Michael Collins.
Columbia, Roger, you don't much care, do you?
No, sir.
No, the eye of Houston is on the Eagle during that powered descent, as Mike Collins soars alone far above.
They should have acquisition now. No word on it yet. Of course, Michael Collins...
We have acquisition of signal from the LEM.
Michael Collins was in contact with the lunar module throughout that critical first burn of the descent propulsion system on the lunar module. So he knew that everything went well. He was around there on the backside of the moon with them.
And they should be getting telemetry down from the Eagle, and then they should establish voice communication. And they have about 16 minutes to go before the powered descent of the Eagle to the surface of the moon begins.
This is Eagle, how do you read? Bye-bye, Eagle, we're standing by for your burn report, over. Roger, the burn was on time. The residuals before nulling, -0.1, -0.4, -0.1, X and Z null to zero.
I think they lost a little lock-on there. That was Buzz Aldrin, I believe, reading out residuals. The difference between what was optimum and what was really happening, and there were very fine points, not much difference there. And they're committed now to 50,000 feet above the moon if nothing more were done.
The burn was on time, that good news.
Attempting to restore antenna lock through the big 210-foot dish at Goldstone. We'll stand by.
They can't afford much of this, Steve. They've got to have telemetry and voice comm.
Right, and they can barely hear them coming in now. They have lost all telemetry with Eagle, which, perhaps that means they're getting... There it is.
Eagle, Houston, did you call? Houston Eagle, how do you read now?
Roger, bye-bye, Neil. We copied up to the AGS residuals. Would you please repeat the AGS residuals in the trim, correction of sun check, over.
Can tell from the...
Roger, AGS residuals, -0.1,
tell from the voices now, the speed at which they're speaking, the pitch of the voices, that the moments of excitement are coming in, that from now on it's going to be all business. No slow, laconic crawls at this time.
Apogee 57.2, Paraloon 9.1, sun check the 3 mark, down 20, minus down 22, plus 0.19, plus 0.16, plus 0.11, over.
They'll be about half a mile higher than they had planned to be on their low point in this orbit, but that's no problem. 9.1 nautical miles instead of 8.5 nautical miles, but
guidance says they're go.
Now 12 minutes 54 seconds to ignition.
Well, they're go to try it, Steve.
Gene Kranz has just advised his flight controllers we're off to a good start. Play it cool.
This next burn will be almost 12 minutes in length. And it'll start, of course, with the 10% burn on that throttleable engine, just to make sure everything's working okay. Then they'll get it up to just about full power as they slow down from 3,780 miles an hour to the point where they start the last 500 feet down, when they'll be going just 43 miles per hour across the surface of the moon.
12 minutes now until ignition for powered descent. Everything's still looking very good at this point.
Coming up on that time when... Think of all the men who have devoted literally their productive lives to this. I mean astronauts, engineers, technicians who have their own input into these last few moments. It's an individual watershed, as well as perhaps one in the history of man's development.
What 23 minutes to go before touchdown on the surface of the moon. Perhaps now, while we have this momentary dropout of communications from the lunar module, we could pause for this message.
Sherwin-Williams A100 latex house paint makes painting a house so easy that just about anybody looks like an expert. It's a cinch to get good, even coverage. No brush marks or drag. You can even go back and touch up spots you missed. Because it's latex, it's easy to use anytime. You can even paint over damp surfaces after a sudden shower, and it dries fast, so bugs won't bug you. Sherwin-Williams latex house paint is easy to use over a variety of surfaces, wood, masonry, even metal. And you won't need a primer either. We've built it right into the formula. Cleanup of brushes and rollers is easy with just soap and water. You can choose from 48 easy-to-live-with colors. Sherwin-Williams latex house paint. Another of the easy-does-it paints you can trust from the people who cover the earth.
And we're listening to the sound, a rather hashy sound, we might add, that is being emitted from the transmitters aboard Eagle, which now is descending lower and lower to that point from which it will attempt to make its final descent toward a manned landing on the moon, which is just some 21 minutes away from this very point in time at which we talk about it. Mission Control in Houston, Texas, of course, jam-packed, VIPs, people who have come to see. And all of the flight crews, of course, several of them in Mission Control have doubled up for this one. In case any man feels that he can't continue with his part of the mission, there'll be a backup for him. And as Flight Director Eugene Kranz told them, men, let's play it cool.
One has to pause for a moment, Reed, I think, and think about what's going through the minds of the wives and children of these three men at this very critical time.
We have you now. Do you read? Over. Loud and clear. Roger, we see your verb 47.
Wally Schirra had talked about...
The bottom was there. It just started oscillating around in yaw. According to the needle, we're picking up a little oscillation right now, as a matter of fact.
Roger, we'll work on it.
A little yaw oscillation that they had reported earlier.
Aldrin is referring to the LEM steerable antenna, that comment about the oscillations.
They have lost a little...
The jet was right on time.
Roger.
Did you copy the star, the sun check, Charlie?
That's affirmative. We did, Buzz, out.
They drop in and out, and we don't know. They've got to get solid telemetry during this powered descent, and we hope they're getting that. We hope they're not getting the same kind of dropout that they're getting with voice communications.
As Wally Schirra said, they know that they have the capability on board to land that spacecraft, but they want that backup data going to and coming from Mission Control in Houston.
Eagle is now at 10.7 nautical miles, 7 minutes, 37 seconds from ignition.
Eagle, Houston, the AGS initialization looked good to us, over.
Roger.
And laconic Roger comes back from Eagle as it soars closer and closer to the lunar surface. Several minutes away, of course, from that time at which it is going to refire the descent propulsion system, which is designed for the purpose of landing men on the moon at no velocity whatever, just being there. We're standing by, we're listening, we're hoping, and I'm sure there are those who, if they have the time, are praying.
Checks indicate 50,000 foot tail end. Our visual altitude checks are steadying it out at about 53,000.
Roger, copy.
Testing the landing radar now from this altitude. It's got to work. It's part of the system. As Apollo 11 flies closer to the moon, and we're now 1 minute before the hour.
People make Twin City Federal grow because that's where people like to go. And people sure are liking genuine passbook saving at the increased rate of 5% per year. For the first 15 days of July, the savings inflow at Twin City Federal was $5.5 million more than last year. $5.5 million more in savings than last year. That's worth a resounding thanks to all of you people who believe in saving money. It's something Twin City Federal can be proud of, too. Obviously, people like genuine passbook saving, TCF style. Put in money anytime. Take it out anytime. People like Twin City Federal's strength and safety. They like the increase to 5% per year on passbook saving. On behalf of Twin City Federal, it is my pleasure to say thank you to all of you. Thanks for your confidence. Thanks for your goodwill. Thanks for choosing to do your saving with the safe, sound Twin City Federal, where the famous twin clocks flash time and temperature.
Apollo 11 coverage continues from Studio St. Paul in Minneapolis, 830-WCCO.
This is the flight of Apollo 11. I'm Reed Collins along with my colleague Stephen Rowan in the CBS News Space Headquarters in New York. We're listening to the last moments of conversation with Eagle before it fires the descent propulsion system and begins that long braking motion under a guidance program, which is number 63. Let's listen to the conversation.
Houston has again lost telemetry signals from the high gain antennas
Columbia,
on the land.
You're go for PDI, and they recommend you are right 10 degrees and try the high gain again.
Michael Collins relaying the message that they are go for PDI, the powered descent
read
phase.
Roger, Roger. Okay. Eagle Houston, we read you now. You're go for PDI, over. Roger, understand. Stabilization control circuit breakers. Safety gimbal IC closed.
What?
Safety gimbal IC closed. Circuit breakers. And override. Out. Gimbal enable. Stage scale 25. Eagle Houston, your alignment is going, Yags. On my mark, 330 till ignition. Roger. 3:30 till ignition.
3.5 minutes from now, they'll start.
Roger, copy.
That big descent propulsion engine.
Balance couple on. Okay, throttle minimum. Throttle auto CDR. Top button reset. Top button.
This is the checklist they're going through aboard Eagle.
And they're letting us listen in, as did the Apollo 10 crew, on these very critical moments when every switch must be in the right position, every dial must be reading the right number.
X is reading 400 plus 1. And a by for...
They're standing by. Aldrin reads out the numbers.
The checklist there to Neil Armstrong.
Buzz Aldrin, the systems engineer, as the man in that right seat, or right stand-up position in the LEM once was to be called before they decided against the use of that term systems engineer and decided to use instead lunar module pilot. But he is, in fact, the man who must know virtually every bit of the hundreds of miles of wiring, and he must be prepared to make sure that everything works right.
Just before they fire the big engine, the one that is throttleable from about 10% up to around 9,800 pounds of thrust, they have a little ullage burn that they will perform with the reaction control system, those little knob-like nodules that stand out there, and that will assure the propellant being in the right place down in the bottom of the nozzles just prior
Eagle Houston,
firing.
If you'd like to try high gain pitch 212, yaw 37, over.
instructions on what to do with
Roger,
that.
I think I've got you on high gain now.
Steerable high gain antenna.
Roger.
And make sure it is steered in the right direction for these critical 13 minutes that lie ahead.
Coming up on 1 minute to ignition. Can I get any angles, though?
Roger.
I'll set them in to use them before we yaw around.
Roger. Pitch 212, yaw plus 37.
Arm defense.
30 seconds.
They're going to fly along heads down for a long period of time, and they'll be able to see the lunar landscape slipping beneath them, but then there will become a time when they must yaw in their reference terms, and they'll be heads up, and they won't be able to see what's going on.
46,000 feet, continuing to descend.
Although the nominal 50,000-foot level is used, Apollo 10's lunar module actually got down to about 38,000 feet.
Mission 10%.
They've started burning.
They're 299 statute miles away from landing site number 2. This long burn time, 11 minutes, 59 seconds. They're over Mount Maryland. At least that's what they call it down there on the surface. It has no official lunar name. And very shortly, they'll be coming up over Cape Venus. Strange name, some that astronomers have given the moon, and others that astronauts have given the moon themselves because they saw them close up for the first time in the previous Apollo flights.
Once again, Mission Control reports it's in trouble on getting telemetry.
Obviously, when you hear that big hashy mark, they've lost the lock-on with the steerable antenna. They don't want this. They don't want that.
Hey, Neil.
I'll leave it in blue. Relay to it. See if they got me now. I got good signal strength in blue.
Yeah, you should have me now, Houston.
Eagle, we got you now. It's looking good. Over.
Well, stay in contact now. You can't come
Eagle,
down the
Houston,
block.
That looks good. Eagle, Houston, everything's looking good here. Over. Roger, copy.
Eagle, Houston, after yaw around, angles, S-band pitch, minus niner, yaw, plus 1/8.
They should be coming up over a place called Lonesome Mesa. Next to it is Bear Mountain. Strange names for a strange place, but names that really come out of the Oklahoma hills.
I can sing with agree very closely.
Roger.
Both the guidance systems lined up, both sending back exactly the same data. Slowing down now below 3,000 miles an hour. Speeding
up. Altitude local high.
They should have seen the crater Maskelyne come beneath them. And Barbara Mesa, which is just beyond...
2 minutes, 20 seconds, everything looking good. We show altitude about 47,000 feet.
Yeah. Coming up over the Gemini Twins now. And very, very shortly from now, they won't be able to see any. They have to yaw up and allow that landing radar to have a good look at it.
In the AZ voltage now. Roger. 50 meter, maybe, huh? Stand by.
Let's hope it
looking
is.
Looking good to us. You're still looking good. It's three, coming up 3 minutes.
Buzz Aldrin there reporting that slight variation in the electrical power, but, and hopefully adding just the meter, we guess, huh? And Houston confirming that everything looks good on the ground.
We're over Boot Hill, over Duke Island.
Roger, copy.
I think their range indication they think to be a little off, Steve. They should now be getting the landing radar range rate, and range to go. should be descending now about 60 miles an hour. They speed up a little bit. They should be, in fact, within 80 miles of the designated landing point. If they could see it, they can't anymore. There's Sidewinder Rill there. They're still having communications difficulty.
You're a go to continue power descent.
They're coming up now on High Roger. Gate. Fairly soon.
40,000. And Eagle Houston, we got data dropout. You're still looking good.
They're getting it, losing it, getting it again, but getting just enough to continue on with the go. Go. Drive down and down.
Slowing down now, 2,100 miles per hour, descending at the rate of 63 miles per hour.
Coming up on a point which is called, appropriately enough, Last Ridge. A 300-foot high ridge directly beneath them.
Altitude lights out.
They're getting a look now such as no man has ever had at the surface of the moon, or would be if they were pitched over in the right direction.
We copy. At the Earth, right out our front window. Houston, you're looking at our Delta H. That's affirmative. Program alarm. Looking good to us. Over. 1202.
Good radar data. Altitude now 33,500 feet.
The landing radar is working, the first time it's really been tested in this situation.
Give us a reading on the 1202 program alarm. Roger, we got you. We're going at alarm. Roger, 230. 6 plus 25, throttle down. 6 plus 25, throttle down.
Roger, copy. 6 plus 25.
They
we're
should
still
be less.
Altitude 27,000 feet.
Same alarm, and it appears to come up when we have a 1668 up. Roger, copy.
Now they're going to throttle down for the next segment of this.
Eagle Houston, we'll monitor your Delta A beautifully.
Should be descending about 72 miles an hour.
Good now. Roger, Delta H is looking good to us.
Down on time.
Roger, copy. Throttle down.
Throttle down. Better in the simulator.
Right.
Drifting down at 72 miles an hour now.
And things look real close.
Going over the last ridge just about now.
Altitude now 21,000 feet. Still looking very good.
Within the next 18 seconds, we should have a pitch-up motion for the
velocity down now to 1,200 feet per second.
You're looking great, Eagle.
The crew to see where they're going.
Okay, I'm still on flu, so we may tend to lose as we gradually pitch over. Let me try auto again now, see what happens.
Roger.
Worrying about the antenna.
Okay, looks like it's holding.
Roger, we got good data.
Now he's going to pitch over. An 18-second maneuver that...
7 minutes, 30 seconds into the burn.
At 7:30.
16,300 feet.
They're 13 miles away from landing site 2.
Eagle Houston, it's descent 2 fuel to monitor. Over.
72. Altitude 13,005. Velocity 9,100 feet per second.
Made it switch over time, please. Just. Roger, stand by. You're looking great at 8 minutes.
Correction on that velocity. Now reading 760 feet per second.
It's the P-64.
Coming into Highgate, P-64, a new program. Highgate to locate. They have 70 seconds in which to redesignate the landing site to take a good look at it now if they want to change it.
Says we're go. Altitude 9,200 feet.
830, you're looking great.
Into Highgate now.
Slowing down below 300 miles an hour.
129 feet per second.
We copy.
Just a little more than 100 miles per hour descent rate.
They should be within 5 miles of their landing point. They should be getting a good look at it now. They should decide very soon if they
Eagle,
like it.
Eagle, you're looking great. Coming up 9 minutes.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Altitude 5,200 feet.
Now the radar should be telling them their altitude precisely.
Roger, copy.
Their rate of descent.
Altitude 4,200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
Good heavens.
I do understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet.
Alarm.
1201.
1201.
Roger, 1201
alarm. We're go, same type, we're go. They're going 2,000 feet, 2,000 feet,
into the ag, 47 degrees. Roger. 47
degrees. They got a momentary alarm on their system there, but decided that...
Eagle looking great, you're go.
It was nothing.
Altitude 1600. 1,400 feet, still looking very good.
Roger, 1202, we copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees, 750, coming down to 23. 700 feet, 21 down, 33 degrees. 100 feet, down to 19. 540 feet, down to 30, down to 15.
Coming down to low gate now, the real landing phase.
They're 400 feet down at 9. Gate forward. 10 and 50 feet down at 4. 30 foot pass down. They're pegged on the horizontal velocity. 10 feet down 3.5. 47 forward. On 1 minute, 1.5 down. 70. 50 shadow out there. 50 down at 2.5. 19 forward. Altitude velocity light. 3.5 down. 220 feet. 15 forward. Forward, coming down nicely, 200 feet, 4.5 down, 5.5 down. 160 feet, 6.5 down, 5.5 down. 9 forward. Good. 120 feet. 100 feet, 3.5 down, 9 forward. 5%. 185. 75 feet. That's looking good. Down a half. 6 forward.
60 seconds.
Lights on.
Have they made
down
contact?
Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. 30 feet down 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Great shadow. 4 forward, 4 forward, drifting to the right a little. 1.5.
30 seconds.
Forward, just.
Kicking up a little dust as they were 40 feet above the surface.
Contact light?
Contact light.
Okay, engine stop.
Stop
the engine. Had a descent. Auto descent. Mode control, both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
They're on the moon.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Do you believe it?
You're looking good here.
Now a quick checkup.
We're going to be busy for a minute.
Going to be busy for a minute, is right.
I'm on. Take care of the defense. I'll get the bus prepared.
They have just a very few seconds here to decide whether they want to stay or whether they want to leave right away.
Very smooth touchdown.
very smooth touchdown. I don't believe it yet.
Tranquility Base.
And the Eagle has landed. Going through a wild set of post-landing checklists.
Roger, Eagle, and you are safe for T1. Over. Eagle, you are safe for T1.
Roger. And we see him safe for T1.
Roger, and we see you venting the ox.
Roger.
That means that they can stay for at least 20 minutes. There's no question in my mind, Reed, that they're going to stay a lot longer than that.
If they possibly can. I think it was interesting. We heard and we listened to the maneuvers going on up there. They were looking for a little better place to land. They were translating and hovering and using up a great deal of that propellant. That's what it was designed to do. And that's why touchdown came a little later than the optimum, really, planned. Neil Armstrong was simply looking for what looked to him to be a good place to sit down.
Buzz Aldrin reporting that at 40 feet of altitude, their big descent propulsion engine...
Copy, now 60, down 43. Roger, we have it.
Then throttled down.
Roger, we ring you 5 by Columbia. He has landed Tranquility Base. Eagle is at Tranquility. Over.
Yeah, I heard the whole thing.
Well, good show.
I'm telling Mike Collins what happened, but of course he listened.
Pop reset.
And Mike Collins says, fantastic, that favorite word of astronauts.
Of course, now they have to decide exactly where they are with relation to the moon's center, and they have to realign things quickly.
The next day will be for the T2 event. That is at 21 minutes, 26 seconds after initiation of powered descent.
Columbia went up, telemetry command reset to reacquire on the high gain.
Copy out.
Well, once they got that antenna working, Reed, in the last 2 or 3 minutes of that powered descent, it began to look pretty good. But for a while there, when telemetry dropped out after they had been burning for just a minute or so, there certainly had to be some very worried people. As Mission Control in Houston reported, people were blue.
We have an official time for that touchdown of 102 hours, 45 minutes, 42 seconds, and we will update that.
I wonder what they thought a blue light goes on when the first of those probes that dipped down 5.8 to...
We want 10254.
I wonder what they really thought when they cut the engine and then just settled down. They're so busy now that I think the whole thing hasn't really overwhelmed them, overwashed them, as it certainly must do.
Neil Armstrong, it sounded to me... gulped, took a big breath just before he said those words. Houston, Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed. The man whose heart rates, Reed, as you were saying earlier, have always gone up higher than his fellow astronauts. Back in the Gemini days, he got so excited during launch.
The horizontal 55.15.2. That's affirmative.
He was beating away at 146
feet. We're now less than 4 minutes from our next stay, no stay. The next stay will be for one complete revolution of the command module.
I'm sure he was just as excited as he's ever been in his life at that moment.
I can't imagine any relative thing to which one could compare it. In his own emotional compartments, he's lived through a lot of things, has Neil Armstrong.
Say again.
But, nothing like this.
Mike and Ags to things align, over. Roger, we're standing by for it.
Now they're getting that alignment set up so they know where they are with relationship to the moon and to the command module, which is flying on above them, so the computer, in the event they need to take off of there in a hurry, can put them into the right powered ascent and then dipping over so they'll get
one
back
of the first
rendezvous
things
capability.
That Armstrong and Aldrin will do after getting their next stay, no stay, will be to remove their helmet and gloves.
Houston, you're a stay for T2, over. Correction, you're...
Roger, stay for T2, we thank you.
Roger, sir.
Well, the Eagle has landed on the surface of the moon, and it's reported back in this powered descent.
That stay for another 2 minutes plus. The next stay, no stay, will be for one
in the last 12 minutes of time that the Apollo program had always lacked, and that mankind in his own time continuum had lacked up until now. The flight of Apollo 11, now the lunar landing of Apollo 11 coverage, will continue in a minute.
Does today's gasoline really give better mileage than what we had in the old days?
That's a question for Shell's Answer Man. Here's his answer.
It sure does. For example, 1 gallon of today's Super Shell, blended with platform 8 and other mileage ingredients, helps the modern engine deliver about 50% better mileage than a gallon of our 1930 formula. 50% better mileage. Next question, please.
I know you get worse gasoline mileage at high speeds than at low ones, but why? Because the carburetor is wide open, or what?
The main reason high-speed driving really eats up gasoline is wind resistance. For instance, a standard sedan may have to put out over 4 times more horsepower to fight the headwind created at 80 miles per hour than it does at 40. Naturally, when you have to put out that kind of power, you must sacrifice mileage. So to get even better mileage from Super Shell, don't buck the headwind created by high speeds. Keep your speed down.
Thank you. The Answer Man is brought to you by Super Shell. Super Shell, the good mileage gasoline.
17 minutes and 42 seconds after 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On the date of July the 20th, 1969. That was the landing time.
We just heard the recommendation, you exit P-12. P-12 is the computer program for liftoff. I'm not sure exactly whether they're taking that out of the computer now or precisely what they are doing. I think we'd best pay rather careful attention to these last few moments. The LEM system must be monitored from within the LEM, the Eagle, and from the ground. And it must be in perfect working order, post-landing order, before man dares stay where he has dared to put down.
In about a minute, they should be getting the go-no-go decision to stay for one revolution, at least. Provided that instruction didn't mean something might be wrong.
I don't know, but when you hear that that input, program 12, you have to listen to it rather carefully to be sure that they're not putting it in or taking it out. The absence of communication from mission control probably bears no particular weight at this time, but we want to wait and we want to see. Men are on the moon.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto-targeting was taking us right into a football field-sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about a 1 or 2 crater diameters around it. And it required us gun and P-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Roger, we copy. It was beautiful from here. Tranquility, over.
Well, that's the explanation of that long search for a landing point. They found a football size.
Now, we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is, it varies pretty much depending on how you're looking relative to the real phase point. There doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all. However, it looks as though some of the rocks and boulders, of which there are quite a few in the near area,
looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them, over.
Roger, copy. Sounds good to us, Tranquility. We'll let you press on through the simulated countdown, and we'll talk to you later, over.
Roger. Okay, this 160 is just like the airplane.
Right, Tranquility. Be advised, there are lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world, over.
Two of them up here.
Roger, it was a beautiful job, you guys.
And don't forget one in the command module.
Roger.
Buzz Aldrin with that first description of what the lunar surface looks like.
From Mike Collins at an altitude of 60 miles. The comments on the landing on the manual takeover came from Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin followed that with a description of the lunar surface and the rocks and boulders that they are able to see out the window of the LEM.
Tranquility, Houston, we have you pitched up about 4.5 degrees, over.
That's confirmed by our local observation.
Roger.
That means they found a relatively flat space in the middle of all those rocks and boulders. Well within the prescribed
limit. Relay, Houston. I was missing all the action.
Roger, we'll enable Miss Finn Relay.
I just got it, I think.
Roger, Columbia, this is Houston. Say something. They ought to be able to hear you. Over.
Calling up Collins in the Columbia.
Roger, Tranquility Base. It sure sounded great from up here. You guys did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Just keep that orbiting base ready for us up there now.
That's awesome.
Will do.
So that request from Neil Armstrong.
That word fantastic occurring again, and if there ever was a fantasy come true, this would seem to be one.
Here in Mission Control, Flight Director Gene Kranz going around the
request 10327, AOS 10413, over.
Thank you.
Now they're telling Mike Collins when they're going to lose the contact with him and when they're going to reacquire. Well, certainly the box seat holders in Valhalla themselves must have been just a little bit more than interested on what these Earthlings were up to in this past half hour, Steve. I believe this thing got more attention than you and I may know.
Billions of people, and of course the billions that we'll go on through history, remembering this moment and the moment that is to come any time from, about 5.5 or 6 hours from now to perhaps 8 hours from now when man will first set foot on the moon.
On the telecom here in Mission Control, that LEM systems look good after that landing. We're about 26 minutes now from loss of signal from the command module.
I didn't hear the stay-no-stay decision, but obviously it's been made.
Yes, they've gone through that, and
Tranquility Base, Houston, all your consumables are solid. You're looking good in every respect. We copy the dips, venting. Everything is copacetic, over.
They're through with that dissension.
Thank you, Houston.
Descent propulsion engine now, and so they're venting what remains in the fuel tanks so as not to give them any possible problem.
Well, Steve, I just can't I can't find words, because I think in our lexicon of descriptive phrases that tell us about how we relate to things here on Earth, they haven't invented the right language yet for this sort of thing, but it must certainly make a great many people more than happy. Fulfilled, I suppose, is the word for that.
I keep thinking, Reed, about As I said earlier about how the families must feel, certainly the officials in Mission Control, but more than that, every technician who contributed a weld or a twist on a screwdriver or whatever to that piece of hardware that's sitting there now on the surface of the moon in the Sea of Tranquility must have great, great pride in this moment.
The guys that bet that we wouldn't be able to tell precisely where we are the winners today. We were a little busy worrying about program alarms and things like that in the part of the descent where we would normally be picking out our landing spot. And aside from a good look at several of the craters we came over in the final descent, I haven't been able to pick out the things on the horizon as a reference as yet.
Right, Tranquility, no sweat. We'll figure it out, over.
Well, that was expected. They don't know exactly in a coordinate sense precisely where they are. And they said earlier that wherever they put down, well, that was going to be the landing site. The precision landings are going to be left to the next nine Apollos who will come down, perhaps the last one within the crater Copernicus. But right now, I think they're very satisfied to be on the surface of the moon on or about landing site number two.
They close the shades on their lunar module now, having looked outside to try to guess where they are, and checking the habitable condition of their spacecraft, making sure that the oxygen flow is okay. They'll take off their helmet and gloves.
I'm interested to know that I don't think we notice any difficulty at all in adapting to 1/6G. It seems immediately natural to move in this environment.
Tranquility, we copy, over.
And then they'll begin.
Strong reporting there, no difficulty adapting to the 1/6 gravity of the moon. Window is a relatively level plane cratered with a fairly large number of craters of the 5 to 50 foot variety, and some ridges, small 20, 30 feet high, I would guess. And literally thousands of little 1- and 2-foot craters around the area. We see some angular blocks out several hundred feet in front of us that are probably 2 feet in size and have angular edges. There is a hill in view just about on the ground track ahead of us. Difficult to estimate, but might be a half a mile or a mile.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy, over.
Sounds like it looks a lot better than it did yesterday at that very low sun angle. It looked rough as a cob, then.
Michael Collins talking to
me. It really was rough, Mike, over the the targeted landing area. It was extremely rough, cratered, and large numbers of rocks that were probably some many larger than 5 or 10 feet in size.
When in doubt, land long.
So we did.
When in doubt, land long, Michael Collins good-humoredly advised Neil Armstrong after hearing that Neil Armstrong indeed had to land long because the targeted landing site was just too rough to land on. He had to go about the distance of a football field to get past all those big rocks and boulders and set down at a smoother place. And indeed, he picked a place that is smooth and relatively flat, pitching up at an angle of only 4.5 degrees. Well within nominal for any takeoff, and they'll begin a simulated countdown now, preparing for the possibility of a takeoff at any time. They'll get everything lined up should they have to take off at any time, and we'll pause for this.
Take a moment to look around you at your friends and neighbors. Perhaps you've noticed more people than ever before are enjoying the better things of life, enjoying them at an earlier age, too. How? One reason is that they have learned to use credit wisely, to borrow when the need arises. In fact, more than 1 million people each year ask GAC Finance for money when they need it. And GAC does a lot more than just lend money. You get sound advice on budget planning, intelligent, understanding help, and the peace of mind that goes with knowing your financial affairs are in order. The amount that GAC Finance can lend varies from state to state. In Florida, loans are up to $600, while in California, the maximum is $5,000. Check the yellow pages under Loans for your state's limit and the address of your nearest GAC office. Because the wise use of credit takes the waiting out of living, people who want better things to happen now ask GAC.
And we're continuing now with the lunar stay of Apollo 11, which now has the call sign Tranquility. As it sits up there in the southwest corner of the Sea of Tranquility on the moon, and the lunar landing has been safely accomplished. We'll continue, but now let's pause. 10 seconds for station identification.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
And this is Reed Collins, along with Stephen Rowan, in the CBS News Space Headquarters in New York, where we're listening to the voices of men, American men, I should say, who are on the moon.
And they've been there. Studio St. Paul in Minneapolis at 830. This is WCCO.
And they keep discussing some technical details with the ground. They've told us when they first attempted to land, the designated landing point that the computer was taking them into was unacceptable. It was a football-sized field, according to Armstrong, filled with big boulders. So he hovered and he moved forward and he kept looking and he did find a very, very relatively safe place to land, and he went on in and he did land.
And he's been on the surface of the moon now for 23 minutes. And in that time, I wonder if our colleague Alexander Kendrick has had time to collect his thoughts. Alex has been a CBS News correspondent since many, many years ago and has covered many of the great events in history, but Alex, surely there can be nothing like this one.
No, Steve, as they would say in the trade, it's a great dateline, Tranquility Base. It does bring to mind, though, a lot of the other explorations, discoveries through history, ships and voyagers arriving at out-of-the-way places, Hillary arriving at the top of Mount Everest, Columbus arriving at San Domingo, the ship, whatever it was, arriving at Botany Bay, Lindbergh arriving at Le Bourget, Peary at the North Pole, and Munson at the South Pole. But I don't think there ever was a thrill like that of Eagle arriving at Tranquility Base, if only because we listened to every stage, every phase of the arrival. These other great explorations in history sometimes took weeks, months, perhaps even years, really, for the news to get back. But this time, we were right with them. And as a matter of fact, my reaction to that was that it sounded like a radio drama of a voyage to the moon. And we've been, in a sense, talking to men on the moon for years in science fiction, in radio drama. So in that respect, even though it was hard to realize that this final dream had come true, I won't say final dream because there are other dreams, but that this dream had finally come true, yet the impact was a strange one. It wasn't an impact of triumph, at least it wasn't for me. It was an impact more of relief, a sort of justification, as Reed pointed out earlier. It was a fulfillment, really. And I think that would be the lasting impact of this thing to people who heard it.
I agree with you, Alex. It's certainly the attitude in Houston has been so positive that I don't think that there's been any real thought of failure. And this has been simulated even on the way down in the last few minutes. The astronauts mentioned the fact that it looked very much like their simulation. It's been simulated and practiced and talked about and rehearsed and dreamed of for such a long time. But still, it has to be, as you say, a great feeling of relief to know that they're there.
Well, I suppose the word program, too, has been overused, but everything that you have said about it adds up to that word programmed. It has really been planned this way, and I doubt whether any great feats of the past, any great feats of exploration or discovery in history have really been planned the way they finally turned out. There was always something to go wrong. In this case, nothing, absolutely flawless.
What if Columbus had come to that landing point on that distant shore and discovered that he couldn't land there?
Well, what if he had landed there and proclaimed that it was the East Indies instead of the West Indies? Think what it would have done to our maps.
Alex, I have to remind you that Columbus had a boat. He could turn around and go back. And I've also been reminded that we have a ship of duty here that we must row a bit. So we'll pause for this.
The whole world's closely following three men right now, our Apollo 11 astronauts, the most famous travelers the world has known. But I'd like to call your attention to some everyday travelers we often take for granted. They're the men driving America's 16 million trucks. It takes that many trucks to haul America's needs, because trucks haul two-thirds of all the food we eat, plus getting gasoline to our service stations, newsprint to our newspapers, and even Saturn rockets to our launch pads. You name it, they truck it. And these drivers have a safety record that's the best in the nation, rolled up while driving over 190 billion miles a year. That's about the distance of 400,000 round trips to the moon. Impressive? The people at B.F. Goodrich think so. As a member of the ATA Foundation, the American trucking industry, we're pleased to salute these thousands of travelers who safely deliver the goods.
In describing their kind of savings plan, the Twin City Federal folks talk about a genuine passbook. That's to separate it from the certificate in a passbook and the complicated 90-day notice passbooks. The genuine passbook, Twin City Federal style, lets you put money in anytime and take it out anytime. No 90-day withdrawal notice, no hardship claim to sign. Just try withdrawing money from a certificate or a notice account, and you'll find out about signing hardship claims. With a genuine passbook savings account at Twin City Federal, no questions are asked. You just save the way you want to, and use your money when you want to. That's the beauty of genuine passbook saving. And Twin City Federal pays you 5% per year on that kind of savings plan. It's the easiest way in the world to save, the one plan that every family should have. Save the easy way, the TCF passbook way, where the famous twin clocks flash time and temperature.
Keep in tune to WCCO for continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Periodic updates will be heard throughout the course of today's Minnesota Twins baseball game.
You've been lying here for 4.5 months.